Hello and welcome once again to the Word from My Hermitage. My name is Father Clint Hancamp, and I come to you today from my hermitage in the Dominican Priory of St. Pius V here in Chicago, Illinois. Today we celebrate the solemnity of the Nativity of St. John the Baptist, June 24th, 2026. Our passage today comes from the Gospel of St. Luke, where he writes, "When they came on the eighth day to circumcise the child, they were going to call him Zechariah, after his father. But his mother said in reply, 'No, he will be called John.' But they answered her, 'There is no one among your relatives who has this name.' So they made signs asking his father what he wished him to be called. He asked for a tablet and wrote, 'John is his name.' And all were amazed." There are moments in life when a name changes everything. A young couple finally holds their newborn child after months of waiting. Family members offer suggestions. Grandparents hope the child will carry an honored family name. Traditions press in quietly but firmly. Yet when the parents speak the chosen name aloud, suddenly the child is no longer simply the baby. Child becomes someone unique, someone called into existence with a purpose that God belongs, a purpose that belongs to God alone. In today's gospel, the neighbors and relatives assume they already know what this child should be called. "He will be Zechariah," they said, following custom, following expectation, following what has always been done. But Elizabeth answers with unexpected courage, "No, he will be called John." Then all eyes turn to Zechariah. The old priest who had once doubted the angel's promise had been living in silence for months, unable to speak. He has had long days to reflect, repent, and listen. And now, when the decisive moment arrives, he writes with clarity and surrender, "John is his name." Not, "John shall be his name," not, "I would like him to be called John," but rather, "John is his name." It is a statement of trust. Zechariah is no longer clinging to his own plans. He is accepting the identity God himself has given. And immediately his tongue is loosened. There's something profoundly contemplative hidden in that moment. Zechariah loses his voice when he resists God's word. He regains it when he consents to it. Silence becomes the place where transformation happens. Many of us fear silence because silence unmasks us. In silence, we discover how crowded our hearts are with noise, opinions, anxieties, and self-made identities. We spend enormous energy naming ourselves: successful, failure, intelligent, unwanted, admired, forgotten, strong, weak, holy, unworthy. We construct identities from wounds, accomplishments, sins, and the expectations of others. But contemplation slowly teaches us another way. Beneath all the voices of the world, there is the quiet voice of God. and God alone reveals who we truly are. John's very name means God is gracious. Before John ever preached in the desert, before he baptized in the Jordan, before he pointed to Christ and declared, "Behold, the Son of God," his identity was already a proclamation of grace. This is how God works. He calls before we understand. He names before we achieve. Grace comes before accomplishment. St. John the Baptist is unique among the saints because the church celebrates not only his death, but also his birth. Why? Because from the beginning, his entire existence pointed away from himself and towards Jesus. John becomes great precisely because he does not make himself the center. Later in life, he will say, "He must increase, I must decrease." That sentence is not self-hatred, it is freedom. The ego spends its life anxiously defending itself, promoting itself, comparing itself, proving itself. But John stands in radical simplicity. He knows who he is, and he knows who he is not. "I am not the Christ," he says. How liberating those words must have been. Most of our exhaustion comes from trying to be what we were never meant to be. We try to save ourselves, control outcomes, secure our future, manufacture holiness, or maintain an image. But John teaches us the peace of surrender. We are not the Savior. We are only the voice. And even the voice belongs to God. There's a story told of a monk who spent years asking God to reveal his vocation. He fasted, prayed, and searched for certainty. One evening, discouraged and weary, he sat quietly in the chapel after compline. The monastery was dark except for a single candle near the tabernacle. An elderly monk approached him and asked gently, "Why are you troubled?" The younger monk replied, "I do not know who I am supposed to become." The older monk smiled and said, "Perhaps that is because you are trying too hard to become someone instead of consenting to be loved." He pointed towards the candle and said, "A flame does not struggle to shine. It simply burns." The younger monk never forgot those words. John the Baptist burned with that kind of simplicity. His life was not complicated by self-importance. He belonged entirely to the mission God gave him. And now what about us? God also speaks a name over each of us, not merely the name written on our birth certificate, but the deeper identity hidden in his love. The spiritual life is not primarily about inventing ourselves. It's about discovering who we really are in God. That discovery usually does not happen in dramatic revelations. It happens quietly, in prayer, in surrender, in fidelity, in silence. It happens when we stop arguing with grace long enough to hear the truth. Perhaps that is why John belongs so beautifully to contemplative spirituality. He lived in the desert not because he despised the world, but because he desired clarity. In the desert, unnecessary things fall away. One begins to hear again. Our world desperately needs that witness today. We live surrounded by endless noise, opinions, advertisements, arguments, distractions, and constant self-display. Everyone is trying to announce themselves. Yet John teaches that holiness is found not in drawing attention to ourselves, but in preparing room for Christ. The Baptist does not cling to disciples. He does not build a personal kingdom. He does not seek applause. He points away from himself. Behold, he says, behold, the Lamb of God. In the end, that is the vocation of every Christian. Whether priest or parent, student or widow, young or old, our lives are meant to become transparent enough that others can glimpse Jesus through us, not because we are extraordinary, but because grace is. So perhaps today the Lord asks each of us a quiet question. Are you willing to let me name you? Are you willing to surrender the identity built from fear, pride, compassion, or woundedness? Are you willing to become simply a voice for my love? If so, then, like Zechariah, we may discover that surrender restores speech, not noisy speech, but truthful speech, the kind of speech that blesses, heals, and gives glory to God. For when we finally accept who we are before God, amazement returns, and all were amazed. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you called Saint John the Baptist from his mother's womb to prepare the way before you. Free us from the false identities we cling to and from the noise that keeps us from hearing your voice. Teach us the silence of trust, the humility of surrender, and the freedom of knowing that we belong entirely to you. May our lives point not to ourselves, but always towards your presence. And when others encounter us, may they hear beneath our words the quiet echo of your love. Like John the Baptist, make us faithful voices in the wilderness of this world, so that hearts may be prepared for your coming. Amen. If you found a blessing in this reflection today, I invite you to return here to my hermitage each and every day when we break open the Word of God and apply its deeper meaning to our spiritual lives. May God bless you today and keep you safe. Amen.